Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, Thunder Rosa and I talk about AEW Dynamite because who is Thunder's Wrestler of the Week? But Ricky Starks. Also, speaking of AEW, Ring of Honor Final Battle is coming up tomorrow afternoon, and we get to speak to Claudio Castagnoli just before his big match with Chris Jericho for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Also, we have one of my favorite interviews of 2022. Pollo Del Mar joins us right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Thunder, who is your wrestler of the week?
Well, I guess there was a couple people that, you know, they brought some highlights to my life. They entertained me. But we were talking about Bayley. Definitely, we talked extensively on Tuesday. But this one is someone who I know for quite a while. He was on the independent scene with me when I met him here in Texas, actually, and we did a lot of shows together. And that is Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks definitely is finally, after how many years being an AEW? I said 2.5, 3 years of being AEW, having a big, big match, a championship match to the extent that he is now. And the segment that happened on Wednesday was, I think, very heartfelt. I feel like for a while, Ricky seemed very, even when he was in the ring, very upset. He's a very emotional character. And when I met him here in Texas, like I noticed, like he has a lot of charisma and everything. And then when we were at NWA, a lot of people were able to see what he was really all about, right? Yes. And he started showing like little sprinkles of what he could become. And then when he came to AEW and has done some stints in different times, I think he's always performed, right? And but this one specifically, NJF did a really great job on getting the heat with all the people in Austin. And he gave him the space for him to say what he wanted to say and for him to shine as Ricky Starks, the absolute. And when he did this promo, I feel like he poured his heart and soul on what he was saying. And I think that is very important. And the fact that, I mean, I want to give also a lot of prompts to MJF. And I think that's one thing that MJF does really well. I know I'm talking about Ricky, but I'm talking about MJF, is that as a heel, you have to give an opportunity to your baby face or to talk and to give their piece. And that is so important for you to be emotionally connected for this match. Because a lot of the times we already know what the result is going to be. But when you play the role, and that is the role of being that heel that everybody wants to hate, and you allow the baby face to express and also to give his piece on why he deserved this opportunity, like it made it so much fun. And then when he hits the spear and the shoes go flying, like the extra.
Which
was
great, by the way.
That
was so good.
It really cemented Ricky as as the baby face, as that person that is fighting within, as that person that has no chance whatsoever, but he's going to go for it anyways, because that's the story that Ricky's telling. Like, everybody told him that he had no chance. I remember when he was struggling personally to be a wrestler, to like fulfill his dreams. And he was sleeping in his car. He was couch surfing. So everything that he was saying is a true story. It's not like it's a lie. So I think that's the reason why it came so to me, because of where I come from, like it was so real, and it was real. The way that he was talking was real. There was a lot of really good things during the promo. And but like for me, was the emotion that he showed during the promo, the fact that he is telling him that, you know, I love the part when he said, you have no responsibility. You know, you don't know what real responsibility is. And I feel like a lot of wrestlers that come on the background that Ricky comes, that's how we feel a lot of the times. Like when certain people are on top, like we are like, yeah, you don't know what real responsibility is and how it feels to carry the title. And the fact that he says like how much responsibility is to carry a title such as the AW heavyweight title, it's huge. You are representing the company for everyone in the world. Whatever you do represents a company. And like all eyes are on you, either when you do good or when you do bad. And then I think another really good point that Ricky did, and it popped me, and I think it popped a lot of people, was when he said, like, you don't even care about the fans or this company. You don't even show up to the meet and greets because you think this is not necessary. I was like, ooh, you know, there was a lot of truths to that promo. And for me, like the reason why he's the wrestler of the week is because of how hard Ricky has worked through all these years, through, you know, the trials and tribulations that he has gone. Like he had a really bad neck injury after a match, and I was there actually calling that match, and I saw when he got hurt, and I knew he was hurt. And then coming back from that and really rebuilding himself to get this opportunity that he's about to get next week.
Yeah, I almost, and I said this on the show yesterday, Thunder, I almost wish that the match wasn't next week. I feel like there's a lot of meat to the bone in this story. And, you know, listen, next week's show's a big deal. Winter is coming. I get all that. But I almost, by seeing what they were able to do together in the ring on the microphone, Ricky and MJF, almost wish there was more weeks to let this story prolong a little bit. And I'm very interested to see who's going to win this match and how this match is going to end next week. Because judging from Ricky Stark's performance, I mean, enough for you to say he's the wrestler of the week. I think a lot of people were really surprised by what Ricky Starks did on Wednesday night. And we got a lot of phone calls yesterday, Thunder, where people thought that Ricky Starks bested MJF. We haven't said that at all, I don't think, the entire time that we've talked about MJF. Perfect example is CM Punk. CM Punk would probably be on a lot of people's list of best talkers of all time. And I felt MJF decimated CM Punk almost on a weekly basis. That is not the case on Wednesday with Ricky Starks.
No, that's one thing that people don't understand, or I don't think they have given Ricky more time to like really develop that. Ricky's excellent, excellent on the mic. Like he's really witty. He thinks on his feet really quick. He always has something smart to say all the time at any given moment. And that's what makes him very dangerous when somebody gives him a mic, right? And I think he hit all the points that he needed to hit yesterday to make people care about this match. And you are absolutely right. I wish this match was a little bit longer and there were more segments and there were more back and forths and there were, you know, more meat on the bones. But, you know, it's wrestling. Sometimes this is how it happens and you have to make the best out of it. At least it wasn't like your generic, I'm going to see you there later, which I'm not going to get into it because I was in Raw. you know what I'm talking about, you know, but that's what I'm talking about. Like there was time for him to say his piece. And I think that is so important for baby faces, for them to say their piece, for them to give them time, for them to let them shine, you know, for them to be able to develop Why is the reason why they're standing in front of the face of the division? Why is the reason why they deserve an opportunity to become a star or to be also called as a star? Otherwise, there's no point of him being in front of MJF, right?
Yep.
But Ricky has done really, really well. He has done really, really well in the ring too. Like, he's looking very, very sharp in the ring because he's so passionate about what he does at every single moment that he steps in the ring. Like, he's one of those guys that pulls me on the side and he gives me those like little Melissa, hey, you need to like go just like a little hump on this or try to do this in this way. You need to get the people really involved. Like, these are the only times that you're going to have to be in front of the camera. Make it work something. He's very, very passionate about what he does.
And I love the fact to hear that he's such a good team player that he is actually helping out other people on the roster as well, like a little bit of pep talk or a little bit of feedback and constructive criticism. I love that. And one question I have for you, because you guys both have similar roads in a lot of ways. How did you feel about MJF throwing out that NWA line about, you know, Billy Corgan, the NWA, and go back to YouTube? I mean, what did you think of that line?
David, I'm just going to tell you something.
Okay.
When I'm done wrestling, I'm going to tell my piece about everything. That's all I got to say. So y'all got to wait because I got a lot to say.
All right. Well, All right. Let me ask you this. Do you promise to say it here on Busted Open?
Most likely, yes. It will be an exclusive. I know a lot of people want to get exclusives from me from a lot of stuff. But, you know, guys, right now, I am the most controversial woman in professional wrestling. you know? I think that hit a nerve to a lot of people. I'm just going to put it like that. It hit a big nerve on a lot of people on that one. A lot.
I mean, do you like it when wrestlers throw out like other companies? Like, do you feel like it should stay in the bubble of the company that you're working in that moment? Or do you think it's a good idea to throw out different, you know, when they, you know, MJF, for an example, in the last couple of weeks threw out NWA, also threw out WWE?
I mean, if it serves a purpose for what the character is doing, I guess it does, because it gets people talking, and then maybe the other company will react. And then it's just like, we got this, like, this war is going, right? Which is the wars of ratings. And that is the real thing. Like, we're trying to see who can make the most money, who can draw the most. And, you know, sometimes doing that, well, you can do it. And, you know, with the NWA one, I'm just going to wait.
Every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with an American Home Shield warranty. Unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater won't break the bank with an American Home Shield warranty. Because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of. Choose a plan that works for you and your budget, and then it's simple. When a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix it or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. Right now, you can take 20% off. Go to ahs.com/bustedopen now to save 20%. That's ahs.com/bustedopen for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield. Don't worry, be warranted. See ahs.com/contract for coverage details, including limit amount, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
If you missed anything this week on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I got you covered. It's Mike Babchick's Morning After, where we play back the best clips of the week and recap in a way you have never heard before. It's a roast like no other, and no one is safe. Not Mad Dog, not anyone. This is a Morning After walk of shame you actually won't regret. You can find Mike Babchick's Morning After on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow the show
Somebody
so you never miss an episode.
Somebody that we should have had on months and months ago, and we dropped the ball. But you know what? The great thing about the Busted Open Nation is they'll let us know when we need to have somebody on. And when the demand is there, we answer the call. And not only that, but this personality reached out to us on social media and said, this is something that I really want to do. So let's bring in our new friend. And for a first time, and without a doubt, not the last time, from the NWA, Pollo Del Mar, joins us. How are you? And welcome to Busted Open.
What a dream come true it is for me. Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you so much, Thunder. It's Dave Thunder and I go way back.
Yeah, we do.
We sure do.
Yeah, but I want to tell you this, Pollo Del Mar, that as much as you know, Thunder, it was me that demanded that you be on the show today.
Oh, and shut the hell
hold
up.
Hold on, Thunder. Hold on, Thunder. Hold on. We're talking.
What is this, amateur
hour?
We're really?
Talking. We're talking.
No.
The adults are talking right now.
No.
But, you know, I want to thank you for all the kind words because you went on social media. I'm being serious that, you know, this is something that you really wanted to do. You said some great things about our show, about our host, like Thunder, and what a great job that we do. So I truly appreciate, you know, the kind words that you gave. And, you know, judging from social media, when you put that video out there wanting to come on, a lot of people jumped on and said, yes, we want to hear you on the show. So thank you for doing that. And I wish more people would do that because we get busy and the world of pro wrestling moves so fast. But I'm so glad that that we have the opportunity to speak today. Go ahead, Thunder. I'm sorry.
And David, one thing that a lot of people don't know is what Pollo has done for the independent professional wrestling. When I met Pollo, he was one of those people that really made one of the organizations that I used to work at was able to bring wrestling into a very interesting part of San Francisco. He was the one who mobilized, you know, all his resources, and we were able to have shows there. What was the name of the restaurant?
It was El Toro restaurant. It's actually here very close to my home. And the interesting thing, Thunder, is that one of the people who regularly came to those wrestling for charity shows, it was a small organization that Thunder and I were both working for, sat in the front row every single show, is now a professional wrestler. Shout out to Marco Mayor, who is part one half of Money, Power, Respect, the team I manage here at home in Underground Wrestling Alliance. And they just made the PWI top 100 tag teams. Which is an issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
But Pollo is a great advocate, and not only, you know, in his community, but also for professional wrestling in San Francisco. And it is important that you talk about, you know, what got you into wrestling, you know, given that you are part of another community that is very prevalent in San Francisco and the Bay Area, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's a lot of the times underrepresented. How does it feel to be someone who is representing both communities?
I think that right now we're so fortunate because the explosion of visibility of people of all minorities, right? Like we're not just, I'm part of one underrepresented community, but we're seeing an explosion of other underrepresented communities like women's wrestling and an explosion of people in who are coming to the forefront in that, like yourself. But in terms of what, you know, I feel, I don't do what I do to represent a community. I do it because I have a passion and love for pro wrestling that extends back to early childhood. And it was always a dream of mine to follow in the footsteps of the people, the legends of professional wrestling that I loved and admired so much. And I will say that as it comes to representing a community of people, I did feel for a really long time that that excluded me. So what I do think is a beneficial kind of side note or sidebar to my personal drive and motivation to be in the world of professional wrestling is that it sets an example for other people that if the most unlikely type of character or the most unlikely individual can succeed in the world of professional wrestling, then that means that the door is open for many, many more people who may not think of themselves as the stereotypical individual who would succeed and excel in wrestling.
You know, talk about like a legend like a Gail Kim, you know, who has had such high praise for you, Effie, who's been on this show with such high praise. When you see somebody who's like an Impact Hall of Famer, like a Gail Kim, like how much does that mean to you that you know you have, you know, recognition and respect for somebody that has so much credibility in this business?
It never ceases to amaze me, Dave, that people of all levels in the world of professional wrestling, from the fan base that is growing behind me, and I have such an avid following, I call them my Pollo Posse, from the fan base that's growing, to people like you and Thunder allowing me to come on to the number one pro wrestling radio show in the world and talk about my experience and my time with the National Wrestling Alliance and other things, to having bona fide Hall of Famers, people whose work I admired and respected for so long before I had the opportunity to share a locker room with them, and to have those people look at me and see beyond all of the things that may turn some people off and see that I am a character in the world of professional wrestling, and also just to see the contributions I can make, that I have made, and the things that I want to do, and cheer that on. That's a wonderful experience. And I would say also that it's incredible to have people like in the National Wrestling Alliance, for example. I have people like Dr. Tom Pritchard, who is there with us as a producer. I have people like Medusa, Jazz, these incredible wrestling minds and individuals who have done so much in the world of professional wrestling. And I can go to them and I can say, hey, I'm thinking about this, or what do you think of this idea? And my goal is always, I feel very confident in saying that I'm very good at what I do, but my goal is always to be better. And I cannot be better if I don't have people who are the best around me pushing me to be that.
I love it. I love it. And I love the positive attitude. And, you know, talking to you here and talking about your career and what you want to do in the future, so far in your career, what was the defining moment for you? What's the moment that you look back on and say, wow, when it comes to what you've been able to accomplish?
Well, there's an interesting story, David. I don't think that even Thunder or most people don't know. So I was a journalist. You know, I've been a journalist for a very, very long time. It was my dream as a kid to write for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, which, by the way, has come to pass. But well on the way to getting that achievement under my belt, I had worked for a number of years with the Huffington Post, and I was interviewing a lot of these celebrities, like really big names, like Kelly Clarkson and Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, these major mainstream stars. And one of the individuals that came across my desk as an opportunity to sit down with was Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I was still really kind of, I wasn't questioning who I was, but I was very uncomfortable with myself as relates to the world of professional wrestling and the ideas that I had in my mind of what it meant to be part of that. And so I sat down with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he and I are in his like beautiful hotel room, and we're talking about some film project he was doing. And we got completely on a sidetracked and talking about pro wrestling. And I said, I'm just such a big fan of yours. And he said, oh, which moment from WWE, WWF was your favorite? Which Attitude Era moment? And I said, oh, you don't understand. I followed you since you were in Dallas. And then you went through USWA, and then, you know, and the look on his face was indescribable. And he said, by God, you're a real damn pro wrestling fan. And that's a terrible Stone Cold impersonation. But the point of that is that in that moment, I thought, man, this guy is arguably the greatest badass in pro wrestling history. And he obviously sees me sitting here. He knows who I am. And it doesn't matter to him because I love pro wrestling. And his like handlers, you know, he had these film handlers or whatever, they were trying to shut us up, but he just kept going, like waving them off. And we just talked about these incredible pro wrestling memories that he and I both grew up watching. And ultimately he got to this world long before I did. But that in that moment, I realized the only person, if he can accept me, everybody else can basically kiss my ass, because this is something I want to do. I punished my mother with decades of forcing her to watch pro wrestling, which she hates to this day and does not watch my wrestling work. She thinks it's cute or whatever, and she's happy for me. But I punished her for all those years. And now I'm going to pursue what I loved all along. And nobody can tell me different.
Pollo, when you were doing the interviews, I mean, I'm assuming you were doing it with your, you know, your regular yeah. self, right?
Well, you should know. I interviewed you for HuffPo.
I know. That was going to say
that.
Oh, how
the tables have turned, madam.
I know. But now that you can be Pollo Del Mar, and one of the things that you always wanted to do and your, you know, childhood dream. How does it feel to like be your real self to the world?
Well, interestingly enough, I wanted since childhood, if Jim Cornette is listening to this and rolling over at the thought that I do what he made so famous, it's your fault, Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette was my absolute favorite wrestling personality ever. To this day, the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette's contributions are some of the things that cemented my love for professional wrestling. And I wanted to follow in Jim Cornette's footsteps. I wanted to be a professional wrestling manager, one of those over-the-top histrionic characters that I love so much about Jim Cornette and other great pro wrestling managers. I never, Thunder, never, ever. Dave, you're looking at me. I know I look stunning, darling, but this is not how I imagine coming into the world of professional wrestling.
No?
It's not. It's not how I, you know, I, but what I realized later on, life is crazy because it guided me in a different direction. And I did stage acting and I did drag performance, and all of these things helped me create a character and a persona that in many ways is, of course, my own personality notched up to like 50. And it fits very well into the world of professional wrestling. And it allows me to emulate in some ways some of the iconic personalities that were most intriguing to me in ways that I couldn't without this character. I could never emulate a Baby Doll or a Missy Hyatt. I could never emulate a Luna Vachon or a Sherry Martel, who's right here behind me. I could never emulate these incredible, iconic female personalities. And Jim Cornette, undoubtedly my favorite, but Sherry Martel, how genius was she in all her various incarnations in the world of professional wrestling? Luna Vachon, how jarringly gorgeous and yet demonic was she? One of my all-time favorites, Nancy Benoit, as woman who just became the personification of sensuality for whomever she was connected to. Those are things that I aspire to and characters that I draw on a daily basis. And in the National Wrestling Alliance now, I will tell you, I get to work with Baby Doll. And that is something that when I was like a very young person, I'm not going to tell on Baby Doll's age and I'm not going to tell on my own, but when I was a very young person with pictures of this woman on my wall, oh my God, I would have never imagined. And now, Baby Doll, I know you're the perfect 10, but I'm the perfect 10 with a little extra.
I like that. And you know what? Apoyo, what I love in doing this interview with you is we're alike in a lot of ways. And
I think one is I imagine you cross dress on the weekends.
Listen, all the time.
Listen, what happens in the bedroom with Violetta and I stay in the bedroom.
He plays with foreign objects all the time too. Ask him about that.
Dear.
Yeah.
Well, my wife said at my roast that she sometimes has to play with foreign objects. But this is another conversation for another time.
It's another conversation. Go back.
Don't let Thunder Rosa bring you down this hole because she does it to me.
David.
She does this to me every show, Boyo.
Ever.
But we're like in a lot of ways in the fact that obviously you're huge pro wrestling fans. We both grew up, you know, wanting to write for Pro Wrestling Illustrated. That was my dream. I wanted to write for Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And obviously I love what I do now. My gosh, you know, it is a dream come true. But there are times where I'm doing interviews, and case in point would be yesterday with Ric Flair, where it's like, this is the guy that I would watch. This is the guy that, you know, if it wasn't for Ric Flair, I wouldn't be doing this show. And now you write for, you know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. First, they did a spotlight on you back in the May edition of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Now you write for them as well. I mean, is there a time where it's like, my God, this was my childhood dream, and I'm living my childhood dream?
So, Dave, let me go back and say how much we are alike. One of the things that I love about listening to this show is that I relate to you so much. I love your unabashed passion for pro wrestling, how it literally fires you up, how you become irate and furious. And there are times when I feel that myself. So I'm glad that you can see that too, because I think if people could get past the exterior to like the shared experience, the world would be a much better place in general.
But you know, really quick on that point, I wish people would, and you know, obviously when you were posting that you were coming on, there's going to be people on social media at Stay Stuff, and you just got to be blind to it because it's just ignorance. At least I hope it's ignorance and not stupidity, because maybe in time that person who makes those comments can change eventually in time. Because I think hopefully everybody can change and their perceptions can change. But go ahead.
Can I say something to that effect, actually? And then I'm going to answer the question about Pro Wrestling Illustrated, because I want to talk about PWI. But the interesting thing about that, Dave, is that when I debuted, so I'm paired up with the Thrill Billy, Silas Meisen, the biggest man in the whole world in the National Wrestling Alliance. And when we debuted, the number of really horrendously hateful comments that we received was overwhelming. Thankfully, I had an equal outpouring of love from people who've been supporting me and wanting to see me performing on a show like that at the highest level. So it was kind of a counterbalance. But the point being that so many of those individuals who kind of like reached out like it with a knee-jerk response to what they saw and hating it, once they started to kind of see the interactions, to see some of the storytelling, to see how incredibly talented Silas actually is, or how maybe charismatic or engaging he and I collectively are, a lot of that has turned around. So my experience just in life in general is that I can't control people's first response to me, but I can control my response back. And I, you know, I feel strongly that sometimes listening and kind of understanding like where somebody's coming from, unless they get very, very personal and really horrible name calling or different things like that, slurs and slander, it's like, well, you know, what makes you feel that way? Have you even seen the product? Have you seen me? Are you just responding to the fact that, you know, the way I look or what you think we're going to be? Just maybe give it some time. So we've turned people around for that. And now Silas and I are, I would say, one of our audience favorites at the National Wrestling Alliance. And thank God for that.
And I also think it's important too, before you get into PWI, for, you know, that people are just accepting, because, you know, you're happy with who you are. Like, I would think we're at a time in our lives.
I hope they are too, because I'm happy for them to be happy.
Yeah, like, right? You know, like here I am. I'm a 51-year-old man. I dress like a slob, which my wife is trying to change, but it's very difficult to do. Because I just, every day I wear jeans and a pro wrestling t-shirt. But like, you are who you are, and you wear what you want to wear, and that's what makes you happy. That's what makes you you. And I would just think that people would be happy that you're happy, and not just your what you are outside, but what you are inside, and your beliefs and everything else. So I hope we get there someday. I know it might be a pipe dream, but I hope we get there someday.
David, I feel like for Pollo and for a lot of stuff, and I've said this before, I think when the first reaction of people is they criticize what they don't understand, they fear what they don't understand. And Pollo is one of those things or items or person that you look and you're like, especially if you don't know who he is and what she's representing right now, right? You're going to go, and the first thing they're going to say is whatever disgusting thing comes out of your mouth or out of your, you know, keyboard. And when you're saying that, it's just so real. It happens to pretty much everyone that is against the status quo, and you know, and it's horrible to see. But I love the way that you turn it around, and you said, yeah, now people, they like us now because they were curious to see what you wear and what you guys represented, and now they're invested in what you guys bring to the table.
I'm also a wildly likable person. If you actually don't like me, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, I mean, come on. Like, I'm a nice person. But that's aside. But so back to the question about Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Dave, every day I wake up, and it's not just Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I don't just contribute to Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I actually have a column called On Heels, which replaced I became the replacement for my favorite columnist from the 80s, who was Eddie Elner. And we know that we had Brandy Mankiewicz and others in between, but I get to write from that heel perspective that I love so much. And, you know, it's a situation where it's a dream come true every day. I don't know how better to say that. Like, You know, I have next to me, right here next to me, for the listeners, they can't see it, but it a list of things I want to do and aspire to do. And when I was a kid, I had that same list. And it was, you know, like big part of it, be a pro wrestling manager and write for PWI and things like that. And I really believe that whoever you are, whatever it is you aspire and dream to be, I think you should write it down. I think you should remind yourself every day. I think you should do something to take steps towards achieving it. And sometimes some of that is not under your control. You cannot control how the world outside you might respond or the answers you'll get back. But it cost me $0 to tweet that one of my dreams for 2023 was to appear on Busted Open Radio, my favorite podcast or slash pro wrestling radio program, and talk to Dave LaGreca and Thunder Rosa or any of your amazing hosts. It cost me $0 to put it into the world. And what came of it? I'm here talking to you. And it's not even 2023 yet.
I know. Isn't that great? I'm going to throw out one of my goals for 2023.
Put it out there.
I'm going to put it out there. Maybe, you know, I grew up, you know, reading Pro Wrestling Illustrated. It was always my favorite magazine. No offense, George Napolitano. I love Main Event Magazine as well. But Pro Wrestling Illustrated was like the magazine when I was growing. Maybe one day I might open up, which I do still subscribe to, by the way. I'm still a subscriber to PWI. And
you
Candace
know, Dave,
Cordelia.
If you go online right now and go to PWI's Twitter, you can get a discount code to save massive amounts of money off of next year's subscription. Just putting it out there.
Okay. And you know what? And it makes a great holiday gift as well to give your favorite
That's
pro wrestling
I got my first ever issue of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Dave.
There you go.
It was a gift in fifth grade when my family was so poor. We were so poor. My dad borrowed $20 from his brother to buy us gifts at a convenience store on Christmas Eve. Wow. This is a true story. And the next day, when it was Christmas morning, I opened our presents, which were minimal, but in my stocking was a copy of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And I read that magazine over and over until it literally disintegrated in my hands. And that one gift was what changed my life. It made me want to do everything that you're seeing.
I'm going to say this, since you want one of your goals for 2023 was to be a guest on Busted Open, and it's been granted here before the year was already up. I'm going to say this, and this is a promise from me. At some point in the early part of 2023, you and I are going to host an episode of Busted Open together. So I am throwing it out there right now where I'm going to set it up with Big Boss Man Eddie Brasilli and Paul, our producer, that at some point in the early part of 2023, you and I will host an episode of Busted Open together.
Oh my! Now that is going to be like an episode as hosted by the two old men in the balcony on the Muppets.
That's fine. I listen. I am what I am.
When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overage. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. It's crystal clear, and it doesn't kill my monthly budget. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This is Adam Schein, host of the Adam Schein Podcast, here to tell you you can listen to my podcast all year round. I'll give you my NFL picks against the spread, give you fantasy advice all season long, while being joined by the best guests in all of sports. He's Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers.
This is what I expect. You know, I expect to play well every year.
We release episodes of the Adam Schein Podcast every week. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
The Adam Schein Podcast.
and somebody who's going to be involved in the main event going after the Ring of Honor World Championship against Chris Jericho is our guest right now. And this is what bothers me, Thunder, because when I think of Ring of Honor, and I have been a Ring of Honor fan for almost now 20 years, and I have seen a lot of final battles in my time, and I have seen our next guest wrestle at a lot of final battles, you know, whether I've seen it in Edison, New Jersey, I've seen it at Basketball City, I've seen it in the Manhattan Ballroom at the Hammerstein Ballroom, and I'm going to be watching it tomorrow afternoon, Thunder. And Claudio is somebody who represents Ring of Honor so well. So to your point that you mentioned, it's who I will be rooting for tomorrow afternoon to be your new Ring of Honor champion. And Claudio, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it, because this is one hell of a matchup that we're going to see tomorrow afternoon at Final Battle.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. Thank you.
How does it feel, Claudio, that you might be, you know, two-time champ for ROH after this?
Well, I don't want to celebrate, or, you know, kind of beforehand, because you never know what's going to happen. And the worst case scenario, I'll have to join the Jericho Appreciation Society, which sounds like hell to me. Something like Daddy Magic yelling the whole time when you hear, yeah, then you want me to get you some coffee or something? And we're good. Like, where was my pants? It would be absolutely terrible. So, you know, you don't want to put the what is it called? The wagon before the horse, you know? So
yeah.
Let's take it day by day. I hope I'll be a two-time champ tomorrow. But, you know, Chris Jericho is, I just watched a video again where he's talking about how he's arguably become one of the best or one of the most decorated Ring of Honor champs in history. So I think there is a point to that, the way he has been defending a title as of late. I think it's a very difficult task.
You know, Claudio, when I think of Ring of Honor, I think of pro wrestling, not sports entertainment. I also think of the code of honor that's always been a part of Ring of Honor. And then somebody like Chris Jericho is your world champion. And you're right. Like, Chris Jericho is a legend. He's an icon. It probably brings a lot of eyes to the Ring of Honor brand, which is always a good thing. But it's got to get under your skin a little bit. Somebody who's been a part of the history of Ring of Honor and understands how much pro wrestling and that code of honor means to that brand as well. It's got to be upsetting to see somebody like Chris Jericho as your Ring of Honor champion.
I mean, very much. It is very upsetting. And the fact that, you know, he treats the Ring of Honor legacy like that, and he openly set out to desecrate, you know, Ring of Honor and, you know, kind of take it over and all its history, and then being so successful at it, I think it's a double-edged sword, because I feel a lot of people now root for him because they enjoy seeing him in all those matches, you know, and he has been putting on some bangers. But to me, it just doesn't do Ring of Honor justice the way he's behaving. And I feel like that's what a Ring of Honor champion should represent, is inside and outside of the ring. And especially after that bell rings, I know the way he's been going after Bobby Cruz or Ian Riccaboni, you know. So it's just, it's not right. And it doesn't sit right with me, and it hasn't sat right with me for a while. So I feel it is my time, and I need to prove to myself and the fans that have been following my career and kind of accepted and embraced my values that I can be a Ring of Honor champion. And to me, that is very important. And also this thing with the Blackpool Combat Club and the Jericho Appreciation Society has been going on since I joined AEW, and well before that, as a matter of fact. So I figured Final Battle is a very fitting name and ending point for this whole thing.
William Regal, stepping aside, of course, you said the BCC and such an important part of what you're doing with AEW, going to work with his son. How difficult is it for you to say goodbye to William Regal, because he's been such a big part of what you've been doing with AEW?
Oh, I never say goodbye to William Regal, because I know I always see him or can talk to him at any point. You know, William, I mean, his lordship, as we call him in the Blackpool Combat Club, he's extremely, he's one of the smartest men in professional wrestling. And that's why he left the way he did, to give us that last lesson, as you call it, that extra edge, that little bit more, grit, whatever you want to call it. But like, that's what you need sometimes to succeed. And I really appreciate that, because I was kind of conflicted going into the match, like after full gear, you know. It was kind of the, like, why can't I beat Chris Jericho when the title is on the line, kind of thing. And then after the message this Wednesday, it's like, no, we can, like, my confidence went up again. And that's what a mentor like William Regal does. He takes one for the team, in literally, to make his team better. And I feel that's what he did. And to me, yeah, he's always around. I ended the man's career. So I feel like that puts you on a different respect level and on a different level altogether with him. So I feel the bond we have, like he said, he's BCC for life. And so am I. So I say that now, which makes tomorrow even harder and even more must win, because again, I don't want to join the JAS.
I don't think you will fit in really well, especially if you have to wear a stupid hat, you know. That hat is more famous than some people that I know, I can tell you that. But what is one of the biggest challenge you think coming into this match, since you already, you know, faced Jericho, and what do you feel like you need to do this time?
So it's extra difficult because, A, there's added pressure of you don't want to lose, because, again, that will mean I'll have to join JAS, and it's really must win for me from a perspective of, this is probably my last chance at the Ring of Honor World Championship. As long as Chris Jericho has it, and the way he's been defending it, that could be for a very long time. And again, I feel like I fight for a lot of the Ring of Honor fans and a lot of the, you know, people that work for Ring of Honor to, you know, be in a safe work environment and have a champion that they can actually look up to and respect, and that respects the company and the history and everything. So to me, that's just the extra pressure. And I think not that I was holding back, but I cannot worry about any of that once the bell rings, because Chris Jericho is so good and so good at adapting to everything and coming up with new plans and new moves and new counters and new everything. I mean, he reinvented himself probably more than anybody in this business. So I don't really know what to expect. I can just be the best that I can be. And I think that will be enough if I...
fingers crossed, Claudio, because we don't want you to be part of this Jericho Appreciation Society. Ring of Honor Final Battle 2022, live at College Park Center in Arlington, Texas, tomorrow afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't get out there to Texas, you can watch it on pay-per-view, also available on Bleacher Report, BR Live. Claudio, good luck. I'll be rooting for you tomorrow afternoon for Final Battle.
Thank you very much. I mean, Final Battle is always... has always been the event to watch in Ring of Honor, yes, all the year. And I feel this year with the stacked card that we have, I mean, it's just top to bottom. Just on Wednesday, they added the Briscoes against FTR in a dog collar match. I mean,
amazing.
That's the last minute addition. Like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, the card is so stacked. We have Yuta against Garcia, you know, for the pure title, which is, you know,
that was a really good match last time.
That's just like a dessert or the main course for many wrestling fans, you know, so to speak. So it's just a stacked card. And me and Jericho, I mean, I feel like I had good chemistry or good matches with Jericho. If you want to look at it from that perspective, I was not very happy with the outcome. So hopefully I can mend that. And like I said, I'm very excited. And I may have one or two special things up my sleeve. So
I love it. It's definitely a stack card.
Hold on, David. I'm so curious. Do you have a chant, like a chant for your team, for, because this, you know, it's the World Cup, and you know, I've been seeing that. What would be your chant?
Oh, what would be my chant for the so there's a TV show called Ted Lasso, and I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's about football in England. It's tremendous. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. But there's a chant for one of the players, Roy Kent. But I feel like that would be very fitting for the Blackpool Combat Club. It's essentially
show us.
We fight you here. We fight you there. We fight you every effing where. Blackpool Combat Club. So, like, the fans could chant something like that. You know, that would be amazing. But I'm always amazed with what the fans come up with. So, I never try to force anything. Like as far as what the fans react to or tell them what to chant, because it's kind of like a catchphrase, right? Whatever sticks, sticks.
Yeah, and like I guess it has to come natural. You can't force it. It's got to be just something that organically happens.
But if they could have a chant, like come up with this cool soccer chant for the BCC, that would be absolutely amazing.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah, so there's been plenty of awesome ones. Every time, I'm so much looking forward to AEW going to the UK because the UK fans are so creative and obviously they have a little bit of an edge when it comes to soccer chanting. So I can't wait to hear what they come up with.
Hey, listen, Claudio, we need you to win this match tomorrow. Not to put any added pressure on you, because I'm sure you're feeling pressure already.
This is must win.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace. Yours. Visit a live archaeological dig site on the very grounds where America began. Or walk the fields where our country was won. Live like a colonial by day or track 18th century ghosts by night. For all the history to be found here, there's plenty more to make for yourself. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.